just to say you are welcome in the portfolio committee. Yeah, we have received your request, I think, sometime last year. And we, unfortunately, the schedule for the committee was too tight. But I think before we went for the constituency period or holiday, we did make a follow-up. My office did make a follow-up to find out if you can avail yourselves within that the last week of our closing. But unfortunately, your team was not able to be with us. So we are very grateful today that you are here so that you can listen what are the issues that we are trying to bring forward to the attention of the portfolio committee. But my understanding is about the challenges that are faced by the farm workers, of which I believe that the Department of Human Settlements do have a policy that covers the plight of I think it has to assist. But it is I believe that this is not the first meeting. Maybe the next meeting we'll be able to have a joint session together with the Department of Rural Development, and then you'll come to us. But I think for this session, it is quite in order that we as the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements listen to what you have brought to our attention. And fortunately, amongst ourselves, we've also invited the department to come and listen, and then if there are areas where they can respond, you will receive that response, and then we'll have a way forward on that one. So with those few words, you are more than welcome. I take the opportunity for the members to introduce themselves as well as the each and every person who is there in this meeting. And thereafter, you will take over, introduce yourself, and then you just run.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon. My name is Gloria Borman. I'm a member of this committee.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Butch Stein. I'm a member of the committee. Afternoon, Gawar Machel, a member of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Archibald Figler, a member of the committee.
Afternoon, I'm Professor Boni, member of the committee.
Afternoon, I'm Noka Nisi, member of the committee.
Good afternoon, I'm KTM Adishava, Department of Human Settlements.
Good afternoon, I'm Pindile Ntuli, Department of Human Settlements.
Good afternoon, the name is Sean Solomon from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good afternoon, my name is Temba Kupula, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good day, I'm Susanna Bliss from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good day.
I'm Advocate Kelly from the Department of Human Settlements.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Kwesi Mgwenya from Legal Services within the Department of Human Settlements.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Fakani Pila from National Department of Human Settlements.
Afternoon. My name is Mathato Mudiba from Department of Human Settlements.
Thank you very much, Chair, committee members, and everyone else present. And particularly thank you very much for inviting us to speak to you in your committee. I'm going to make a very short summary of who we are and our report. So obviously, you know, some of you have got copies with you. We can get copies to anyone else who needs it. And it's 86 pages. Very briefly, we, Human Rights Watch, are a global organization that works around the world on human rights issues, including in many countries on the rights of vulnerable workers. We have offices around the world, including one in Johannesburg. I myself have seen a legal advisor across the organization. I'm based in London, but he also assisted in working on this report and some of the research on it, so I'm happy to take any questions about that. As we've done several reports on South Africa over the years in different aspects. This is one where we focused on farm workers in the Western Cape, and particularly in the international industries around fruit and wine. So the problems we found there through interviewing various people using our normal methodology of trying to find when there's human rights abuses which are significant, that's it, that warrant attention in that case. There's particular problems we found with housing, both in the condition of the housing of that several of the workers are living in extreme cases, very much below substandard. Another being the issue of evictions and threatened evictions of those living in housing on farms or elsewhere, or those who've even been evicted or decided to move and live in substandard housing such as temporary Wendy housing, including the threats to evict members of families, which can split up families and make it impossible for others to remain there. And then the conditions of work as well, sometimes particularly low wages, but including conditions of health and safety, such as working with pesticides. And another particularly important area, which is the need to, how do you get protection on that? And we found a lot of difficulties we've had with unions and others being able to represent farm workers, and particularly unions and others saying they wouldn't be allowed access to farms to organize at times. And that seems to be, we heard that again and again, so it seems to be much more of a bigger problem. When it came to what becomes a core of our issue is normally what should the authorities, governments in its different forms, local and national, do about it. I have to say we also recognize the duty of industry, of employers as well, to address human rights issues, but the core protection has to be government. One is, of course, the need for inspections and adequate inspections, and to take that the inspectors have to treat farms as any other form of workplace and certainly don't treat them any differently or any less rigorously than elsewhere. So one specific recommendation we've made to Labour has been that there should not be a protocol which exists at the moment which effectively rules out the idea of surprise inspections and say all inspections have to be notified. And yesterday I spent some time with the Committee on Labour, who I may know, visiting various farms this week and with some of the inspectors to see how the inspection works. There also has to be sufficient amount of inspectors. One particularly worrying issue is that many of the people we spoke to were very concerned about their safety and just the security of their job if they were known to complain. Nearly all of them said they did not want to be identified in any way. That includes making sure they wasn't clear which farm they'd come from, because they were very much feared for their jobs. So then that shows a symptom of a much wider problem, which is that the authorities should ensure that those farm workers feel able to complain or raise concerns both outside, know who to go to and know what their rights are, and know that if they do raise complaints, they can be sure that will be done in confidence without any repercussions for them. So I think that's a wider challenge for all concerned and with the authorities there. We did produce a further series of recommendations. I think these range from almost the bigger international side, and one point we did highlight there on the biggest picture of all, which is to ratify the UN Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, which is often much, because it's a core economic, social and cultural rights involved, but with one specific and concrete impact of that, in that international covenant guarantees a core minimum right. And one of the advantages of that might be to help develop the idea of a minimum standard of housing, whoever is responsible for it. Obviously, some of that exists already in different places, like the relevant protocol. But say, whoever is providing the housing, whether it's the employer, whether it's a private party, whether it's the state, there needs to be a minimum level that can be agreed on. Obviously, that can, as resources increase, that minimum can go up, but there has to be a minimum standard. And that's where the international covenant can actually help, which is one of my areas of work. We've made recommendations across from national government down to different divisions. We made one to the Department, to the Department of Human Settlements, but because we, one of the issues we kept seeing was, once they mass confusion, but lack of knowledge as to who should be taking responsibility for some of these issues was clearly cut across different responsibilities, both national and provincial. So I suggested that with the Department of Labour, Rural Development, Land Reform, Agriculture and Human Settlements to work together in developing a policy that will address these poor housing conditions on the farms, although without obviously creating a disincentive for farmers to provide farm worker housing, because that's clearly important. It's in no one's interest that when housing is being provided that farmers will stop doing so, but on the other hand there's a minimum standard that will need to be met. And then the second key point with thoughts on that, where all the departments need to work together, is on collaborating on addressing the evictions issue. That's at all levels. There needs to be a more closely working together of all government divisions, both ensuring even the existing law is applied, which very few people are aware of, which is, may not give particular protection for farm workers who are over 60 and have worked for more than 10 years. And very few farmers, workers, I certainly spoke to my colleagues, they were even aware of that. But also ensuring that those threatened with eviction have somewhere to go to help protect them. And those who do evict illegally face the consequences of that. And specifically that those who do get evicted and may be living in, maybe home, made homeless or even or living in substandard conditions are catered for. And that can include, we say, when there's extended families and sometimes the adult children, the ones evicted, that can leave aged parents with no one to look after them. So there's various parts of those that need to be addressed and being very clear as to what the law should be, who should be responsible for implementing it, and what can be the consequences when it's not dealt with. But to stress again the importance that there is a clarity and responsibility for that, because some of these issues are certainly our impression, and we're certainly happy to discuss it, was that it was responsibility maybe falling through some cracks, both between different departments and between the national and provincial levels. I mean, those are the broad areas that we've found. I'm certainly happy to go into any more detail in response to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Porte. Here is the presentation. I would invite the members to just get clarity on certain areas, and thereafter I will allow the department to respond, and then we'll have a way forward from there. Honorable Steyn, Honorable Bowman.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question is really just a question of clarity, as you've indicated. Your document indicates human rights conditions in South Africa's fruit and wine industries. In your opening remarks, you said that you actually focused in the Western Cape. So just clarity in terms of this document. Does it cover more than just the Western Cape? Because there are, in particular, fruit farms elsewhere in the country. So then in terms of clarity, Chair, then, a second question, which is very general as well, without going into the specifics, did your people that you used for the survey, when you came across, you obviously interviewed people and they gave you certain stories, were you able or did they in fact share with these people, particularly the ones that suffered some exploitation in whatever form, whether it's labor or housing or health, do you, as a general condition, do you then share with these people the alternatives, the avenues that's available to them to address these exploitative practices that take place? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm by and large covered. I was also interested in the Western Cape thing in the report here. But can I ask, over a period of time, excuse me, are you finding that things are improving out there or not? And you know, are there thorough reports, for example, on the condition of housing? You say, you know, it's poor. Is there a detailed report regarding that? Thanks.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to check if after a meeting with the affected people, did you have any opportunity to interact with the farmers themselves? Because I think on the issue of housing, even the farmers do have the responsibility to ensure that that their workers are being housed in a proper manner. Because in South Africa, there's also a program that is called Employer-Employee Assistance Program, more especially in the housing sector. So I think the department will also assist us, because I understand last year, beginning of last year, the minister held a meeting with the farmers, but unfortunately we have not yet received the report back of what transpired to that particular meeting and what were the resolutions that were taken on that meeting. But if the team that was with us today will not be able to reflect on that, I think we will need to have a copy of that report so that we share the information together with yourself in future. Do you have a question? Okay. All right. I think we can answer the questions and thereafter the department will come in.
Thank you very much. In response to the question about the title, yes, it is. We were focused this time on the Western Cape. Initially we were thinking we could look more broadly, then we realized that we had to focus on a specific area in order to get the information in a manageable length. So it is specifically the Western Cape, and it's also specific types of farms, as we indicate further in the introduction to the report. In terms of another question, was about the alternatives and when we met those with exploitations.
No, it's basically when you meet with these people that are being exploited, is there an opportunity to actually share with them the avenues available to them for remedial measures?
When we are doing research, we're there to do research. We aren't, at least in this case, representing people, necessarily giving them advice. But if it came across, certainly when I'm doing research, if I'd become aware of what the remedies might be, it would certainly indicate that to persons, or saying you may go and consult these groups or these people or this advice centre, which we have to know is where you are. So we wouldn't say that was systematic. It is not part of our remit, but when we're aware with individuals, we would. And I think that would also go to answer the chair's question as well about do we then go back to the farmers? I mean, I think you mentioned those individual cases where we have concerns. In this particular research, we did not have permission from those we spoke to who set out abuse to go back to the farmers because they would think that would identify them. Sometimes we do. We might, in other cases, we would say, do we have your permission to raise this with the person concerned, whether it's the government in other cases, we do an abuse in this case. We did, on the other hand, meet with farmers individually, with Agri-SA and Agri in the Western Cape to get the farmers' point of view. It was very important to us to get that. And that's, I think, the other point I would make on that is that it was certainly the case that many, perhaps, certainly most of the people I spoke to, of farm workers who were talking about it, seemed to have very little idea as to what the remedies were and who they could go to for advice or even and assistance. Or even specifically what their rights would be, even that's the basic rule of protection from eviction at age 60 after 10 years' work. It seems to be very little known to some of the people we met. In terms of the question about the changes over time, this is the first report we've done of this nature in the Western Cape. So we did a report many years ago on a related issue. So we couldn't say how the conditions changed over time. Certainly some of the people we spoke to informally suggested if it had changed, it hadn't changed as much as they hoped for, but that was more anecdotal evidence. In terms of detailed reports on housing, I mean, our report itself is setting out what we could do during the time available. And as a human rights NGO, we have a particular methodology and we set it out. We don't, it's not an academic piece claiming to be comprehensive. On the other hand, it's not a journalist article prepared over a few weeks. It's one that's prepared over several months. So we gave perhaps a snapshot of what we saw on housing. So as much as that is a detailed report, it's a starting point, and we very much have to follow up and give some indication in the future how things may have improved or not.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've just briefly looked very quickly at your recommendations, and there's not much that in terms of your recommendations to the Department of Human Settlements. However, the very first one where you refer to a policy, and I take into consideration that this survey of yours was done over 2010-11. If I'm not mistaken, and the department can certainly come in there, there's a very detailed farm worker housing policy that was completed, if not early last year. So there is something in existence and which in fact is to the benefit of both the farmer and the person needing the accommodation. And it would have been good if we had known. It would appear that very few of them, both farmers and the employees, are aware of this. So I'm just raising this, Chairperson, in terms of your research that you do before you go into a survey like this. It also links to your answer about my question about remedies for people, whether you in fact do research first and foremost about the types of abuses that can take place and where there are avenues for relief if people are subject to that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, certainly we do the as broad research as we can, and in a country where we have an office space, that can be a much more ongoing basis in other countries where we may only be able to enter for a few weeks. And we certainly spoke to a lot of people about what remedies existed at that time, and that's both. We will do both as we go along. So we might start with a broad overview, but then we have to go out and see how conditions are on the ground, and that would be reflected back into what we would then look at to see what remedies were existing already. We try and meet, as I said, farmers, officials responsible at all levels, and get what their point of view was. We're certainly aware of the draft new laws on evictions that were being proposed a year ago. As you said, this research was done at the end of 2010, beginning of 2011, which is when it would get published a few months later, so it reflects the situation at that time. As I said, it's not just about having a policy, it's about a policy that can be effective and makes clear who is responsible. And also that those who may be suffering the abuses here know, perhaps not need to know the details of a policy, but definitely need to know what their rights are, who they can go to for advice and assistance. In that case, which may be government, maybe government supported other bodies.
Thanks, Chair.
Honestly speaking, from a government perspective, there are various interventions that are in place for atypical workers like farm workers. Like within the Rural Development Department, we have the Labor Tenants Act, and we have the ESTA, which are programs that are specifically earmarked for the farm workers. And there are also interventions by the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries. Specifically from the Department of Human Settlements, like Honorable Stein has indicated, we have a comprehensive policy within our National Housing Code called the Farm Worker Assistance Program, which comprehensively spell out the rights of farm workers in terms of housing, and we do have best practices in terms of implementation of that policy. Of course, I was just surprised by the fact that, you know, the research does not make mention of that, although it is already there and being implemented, you know. Perhaps maybe the places where the research was focused, you know, there were pockets of non application of that policy, but the policy is there. Certainly, yes, our minister had consultations with the different farmers unions a year or two ago, and mainly was around the implementation of the farm worker assistance program. You know, how the farmers can be able to play a partnership role with us in terms of implementing of that particular program. So, like I've already indicated, we do have that comprehensive policy, which is aimed at ameliorating the conditions of farm workers in terms of housing. And broadly speaking, like I said, you know, there are different interventions by and programs by other sister departments like Rural Development and Land Reform, and also the Department of Agriculture. We will favor the Human Rights Watch with the policy and also some of the interventions that we have done in that particular space. Thanks, Chair.
So this is fine. Okay. Okay, your last question.
Thank you, Chair. I think just to add on what Advocate Ladefore alluded to, I think it's also critical because I can see that in one of the recommendations specifically, the recommendation of the report, it provides a clear details to on the recommendation Department of Labor. But to us is specific and on two issues. The issue of the police advocates were alluded to, it also makes, you know, some comments and also recommendations pertaining to issues that relate to evictions. On the issue of the evictions, I can also attest to the fact that Chairperson that there has been a number of legislation in this regard that have been, of course, you know, promulgated that relates to issues that relate to eviction. The other piece of legislation that already been mentioned is the issue that relates to ESTA, the extension, you know, of Security of Tenure Act to ensure so that it protects and also tends to ensure that the protection of the farm workers are, of course, they can realize and protected. You talk about the issue that relates to PIE, which its original intention is to ensure to say that it, of course, protect, let me say, you know, most of the farm workers in terms of ensuring so that there's no arbitrary eviction, you know, that is encouraged in the particular regard. But however, I think in the particular regard, we also ensure to say that there have been also a number of interventions, and more especially from our courts, and more especially the positional court rulings that have also given a direction in terms of what also need to happen in the instances where farm workers actually have been evicted without any recourse. So because there have been a number of case law, not necessarily, you know, from our court, but from the highest courts of, you know, of the Republic, you know, the Constitutional Court, which have made pronouncements in terms of giving clear direction in terms of what needs to happen, you know, in the instances where there are, of course, issues that relate to eviction. We'll, of course, actually, you know, share with you, you know, most of those particular rulings that relates actually more especially to eviction, the Constitutional Court rulings around the issue that relates actually to eviction in particular. Because your focus and your recommendation were only focusing in respect of those two aspects, in respect of human settlements. Thanks, Chair.
Well, we very much welcome your, both of your office to share what you have and see what the current policy is and to what degree it can start meeting the needs that we'd identified last year. But particularly to stress the importance, it seems, of that cooperation and clarity, both internally to make sure who is responsible for what, and most importantly that those who are being affected are very clear themselves as to and who's responsible for making sure they are made aware of their rights, and those facing both evictions, family member evictions, and substandard living conditions as to what their remedies will be, because that's recognising some of the complexities in it, that sometimes it's the farmers themselves who are responsible for the conditions, sometimes it's others, it's local municipal governments, and sometimes it's those who are being homeless, you know, which need very clear and urgent action at that time. And also to be clear, that does the existing law as interpreted by the courts give adequate protection in these cases, both including does it give a clear idea of what is a minimum basic standard for housing? And that's a very critical issue at this time that everyone can understand. To know that, let's say one example that we found is someone who'd been living in a converted toilet for years rather than a converted animal shelter, which by anyone's standards should not be acceptable. And also what would then happen if those standards are not met. So it seems like a good start, but it will be good to continue this discussion and get the clarity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think listening from the discussions, I think that report you are now advocate that we need to have it, a copy of that report. And I think it is also the responsibility of the portfolio committee to make a follow-up. Even we can even not have those sessions with the farmers associations in terms of the implementation, how far they in terms of the implementation of those policies that have been agreed upon. So it would be much better if we get that, and we're also going to facilitate the session between ourselves as well as those farmers. But secondly, I would appreciate if we can get the list of those farm areas that have been visited by the Human Rights Watch. Further, I would suggest that at some stage we need to undertake an oversight, a coordinated oversight. It's a pity that the Department of Labor has already undertaken its own, the committee. But I think with ourselves as well as the rural development, the department should also assist us, particularly, which we need to facilitate. Because GAPA can just have a day's oversight, or 2 days oversight, if these areas are too, there's a distance, too much distance from each other. So we need to undertake those oversight visits to see what is going on, more especially on the side of the human settlements. I think also in the issue of evictions, the Department of Land and Rural Development, we need to confer with them and discuss these issues because they affect all of us. So, to me, this report is also assisting us in our oversight. But if we can take time to read I've just looked at just a tap, made a tap on it, but there's quite a lot that has been mentioned on housing. Never mind about the recommendations. Never mind about the recommendations, but if you can read thoroughly the report itself, maybe you can come up with something to testify that really there is a problem in the farm work that is experienced by the farm workers. And we must be honest, we have not done much to oversee that process. That's the portfolio committee. We must be honest. We have not done much to be specifically oversee if those housing conditions are appropriate. So at least a human right to watch is we can just comment the work that you have done, because yes, it's also not pending, and was going to say London, are you going to get me or something? Because, and it was Osama Kandem in between. Interpret, please. Can you interpret to Osama Kandem? Advocate.
Yeah, wake it up
for the act. Okay. No, thank you very much. Mr. Baldwin, as well as members, and to the department, that was a very, very, very fruitful meeting, and I think we have got a very clear way forward on this matter. We are going to consult with yourselves, and we are going to also communicate with the department. So this is a starting day for yourselves to communicate with the department. Otherwise, I don't know if you have got something to say. Well.
No, thank you very much and for your time in the committee and departments. As you said, I think it's the start of a further discussion between all of us, and we remain available for any of you, of course, for further communication. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.